Are you ready for one Drachios? Nice. This podcast may contain language that is not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. We also talk about sexy time, inappropriate things, and we're not always PG rated or even G rated. More like PG-13, closer to R on some tasks. So please be advised before you listen in front of sensitive ears. Thank you.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, where we recap Hallmark romance movies specifically for irreverent ears.
If you have irreverent ears, you've come to the right place.
I'd like to introduce you to my lovely co-host, Tamara Cosio.
And I'd like to introduce you to my lovelier co-host, Corinne Edding. I love romantic comedies that were big and blockbuster movies back in the 90s. They spoke to me in a special way during my formative years. Aww. I loved them. I went to the movies to see them. And then as quickly as they came, they kind of disappeared. I miss those big romantic comedy movies. And I was talking to Corinne about it. And she said, have you tried Hallmark movies? And I said, what is a Hallmark movie?
And I said, it's the lowest stress kind of romance that you can watch.
Low stress, you say?
Yes, perfect for during a pandemic. It takes the anxiety out of watching a romance movie because it's so predictable. And you know what? I eat that shit up, so.
It took me like 3 movies, I think, to be like, I know what's happening here. Thought I was real smart and then realized, oh no, there's a formula to it. You generally can get the gist of the formula early on if you just pay attention.
Which is why this is called One Dry Kiss, because frequently there is only one kiss in the movie and it's a singular dry one at the end.
Or if you're lucky,
yeah,
2 or 3.
Ooh.
Maybe you get a wet one thrown in. Maybe.
No. Where have you seen a wet kiss?
What? Hold on. Wait. Nope. Mm-hmm. I know it's in there. Wait.
Mm-mm.
It'll come to me. But then there's also very often in these Hallmark movies, a kissus interruptus. We've named it because more often than you see kisses, you see people about to kiss and you see the kisses getting interrupted by a wide array of things.
Absolutely.
People, animals, weather. So, and then Corinne also pointed out that there was the
crucial, sudden but inevitable betrayal,
which I hope is self-explanatory to all you listeners out there.
Okay, so now I have an apology. This movie I saw on the Hallmark Movies Now app, and then when it was recorded from my Ferndly TV, it was on Up TV, which is not a Hallmark station, but I'm guessing Hallmark adjacent station. They have movies that are very similar to Hallmark, perhaps a little bit racier. No, not racier. Racier is the wrong word. A little tiny bit more contemporary feeling. But I'm lumping this into the Hallmark echelon because, and typically we will do Hallmark movies until Tamara can't take it any longer and we need to spice things up. But I have an unlimited capacity for them, so I'm good. Blame her if things change. And
thanks. Thanks for putting it all on my shoulders.
You're welcome.
Great.
I'm a good friend.
No.
You know, we've only known each other since we were 2, so I think that...
Oh, yeah.
I can just put that on you and it'll be fine.
Okay. Well, may take a couple of decades for me to forgive you for that, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
You could potentially see this movie on Up TV during the holiday season. I actually saw it on Hallmark Movies Now, so I'm claiming it as Hallmark. Sorry, Tam. I've betrayed you.
See what happens? You say, let's do a Hallmark podcast. And then I say, yeah, I'm on board. Let's do it. And then you said, let's watch a Hallmark movie. And I'm like, cool, let's do it. And then you're like, this is not a Hallmark movie, technically. Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, Corinne.
Dang it.
It's a Hallmark movie parody.
Yes.
Hallmark movie.
Yes.
And it was so much fun. Like, out of all the Hallmark movies that are technically Hallmark movies, like, I thoroughly enjoyed this one. So we've got a great sort of Hallmark movie to talk about today.
It's a Christmas movie. Christmas. Do you have any little fun facts about this movie?
Yes, I do. It is set in Holiday Falls. Initially in the movie, our heroine is watching a Christmas movie based in a place called Christmas Cove. Mm. And there is actually a place called Christmas Cove, and it's in Maine.
Ooh.
United States of America.
We may have to go there on our pod tour.
Well, it says that Christmas Cove is both a body of water and a fishing village, but despite its festive name, the town is actually a yachting destination and welcomes far more visitors in the summer. So we'll just grab a yacht, you know, middle of June,
perfect.
Tootle on down there.
Where we'll all go out on the yacht together, we'll do a little podcast, we'll have a little cocktail party. You know, like we do on our yachts.
Going to have to decide which of our friends' yachts that we want to use. Because,
right.
You know,
there's
so many choices.
So many choices.
Mm, yeah.
Why don't you call your friends the Kardashians? I'm sure they have one.
Oh, sure. I got them on speed dial right here. Boop, 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 beep. Also, I figured since I was on this page that talked about Christmas Cove, Maine, which will be mentioned in the movie, I looked up some other actual towns that have Christmas type names in them. So I came across North Pole, Alaska, a settlement that was created outside of Fairbanks and was actually created because they were hoping they could attract toy manufacturers. But they failed. This town still embraces its kitschy name and has candy cane striped light poles and Christmas decorations that stay up year round. See, that seems like the Christmas town that I would go to and get like the full on Christmas experience that I'm expecting.
Versus Christmas Cove,
which,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
There is Mistletoe, Kentucky and Noel, Missouri. And it's kind of sad because the blog cheapism.com kind of like has pictures partnered with the town names. And the previous ones that I mentioned look like really cute, really Christmassy, really like places that you'd want to go. And then I get to Mistletoe, Kentucky and Noel, Missouri. And it's like a strip mall with the, I don't know, kind of some light poles and a sad looking mailbox. And I'm like, maybe I'll just go to the first two.
This movie was actually filmed in the United States.
What?
Yeah. It was not filmed
in Canada.
That's
because it's not a true Hallmark movie.
Right? You're giving me the eye. I've betrayed you. Oh. Do you have any other fun facts for the listening audience?
Christmas Movie Christmas was directed by Brian Herzlinger. There is a super cute little token, adorable girl in this quote-unquote Hallmark movie. When I looked her up on IMDb, it seems like her last name is Cleary Herzlinger.
He's her dad.
Oh, because she is so adorable. So Brian's lucky that he had such a cute gosh darn daughter. The movie was written by Brant Doherty and Kimberly Doherty, and it winds up that Brant plays the one of the love interests named Paul, and Kimberly is the other lead actress in it who's named Lacey, and they are married. So they're writers, they are actors, and they are married. So it's all around a family affair at a Christmas movie Christmas.
I love the fact that there's a real life couple in this, and their relationship in this movie is so wild and quirky. And knowing that they wrote this together is amazing. I love that they wrote this movie. It's such a weird one, and I'm here for it. Synopsis. Eve, unlucky in love and life, is obsessed with the Hallmark-style Christmas movies. Her sister Lacey is more jaded, loves true crime, and doesn't understand why Eve likes that unrealistic schlock. They live together in a somewhat crappy apartment. While on Christmas Eve walking together, they run into a magical Santa, make a wish, and the next morning wake up in an alternate reality, realizing that they are stars in their own cheesy Christmas movie. How will they get back home? Will they find love? Will there be copious amounts of fake snow? So many questions. Stay tuned to find out. And then I would like to introduce you to our two main characters. Eve Bell is the primary and least interesting of the two leads. She is played by Lana McKissack. She is a dreamer and a lover of Hallmark movies. She's struggling to be recognized for her talents at work and doesn't even attempt to date. Life is better in the movies she watches, so she'll stick to being a spectator, thank you very much. She has long, dark brown hair that she wears in a side part. Her Christmas look is a cute red woolen jacket, skinny jeans and high boots, and giant pink mittens. Lacey Bell, played by Kimberly Doherty, is a realist, sarcastic, and suspicious of everything. She's struggling in love and trust. She has long dark hair with the sides of her face framed by some long bangs. Her Christmas look is a cute burgundy woolen jacket, skinny jeans, cute ankle boots, and giant pink mittens. Gram Gram must knit.
I can't believe that you don't like Eve.
I don't dislike Eve. I just said she was the least interesting.
I was mentioning earlier that she loves Christmas, you love Christmas.
Yes.
So I thought you'd have more of an
affinity for her?
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. An affinity for Eve, the Christmas-loving gal.
I like her. I'm just saying her storyline is less interesting.
I thought you were an Eve and I was a Lacey because I suspect everybody.
I think I'm a combination of both.
Really?
Yes. I'm a Eve-C.
Oh, a little bit of both. I got you. Uh-huh. I got you.
I know, right? I'm a genius.
We open with Eve, who is gazing lovingly into Chad Matthew Monroe's eyes. He's professing his love and he says, "You're the reason I came to Christmas Cove. I want you. Merry Christmas." And as he leans in for a kiss, she's interrupted by her sister Lacey, who storms into Eve's cubicle complaining. Eve's been watching Christmas Cove, a Christmas movie, and she had her face smushed so close to the TV, we thought she was in the movie and not a hopeless holiday movie-watching, Christmas-loving romantic. Lacey gives her a little shit for watching that movie again and then asks, "What are you working on there, Eve?" Eve shows her her magazine, I am putting in very serious quotation marks.
Okay, her graphic design work is so bad.
Her catalog ideas for this spring fling. I put more question marks in my notes with the big okay. Mr. Peterson, her boss, who doesn't even know her name, walks in and asks, "Elle, are you done with that press release?" And she tries to show him her spring fling idea, but he brushes her off and storms away.
Great work on the spring fling, but you should do the press release that you're supposed to do.
Yeah, no. Responsibilities first and second things second.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, do you secretly think that maybe just not knowing anything else in context, if her graphic design work is so questionable? And I thought maybe Mr. Peterson knows what he's going to show her and is just like nicely being like, "I'm so busy, I can't look at this right now because your work is kind of bad." Like, it looks like it's a middle school design class and the pictures are very pastel-y.
Yes.
They're very like clip art-y, and they should be flanked by hearts with arrows and have unicorns in them. Well, that's what it looks like to me.
She does know how to use that Comic Sans to full effect.
That is the sign of a good graphic designer, Comic Sans.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You use it all the time.
If I were a font, I would be Comic Sans. Oh, yeah. No, 100%. But she got brushed off. They got to hurry home. Lacey has got to get ready for a date. On Christmas Eve? What? Yes, Lacey has a date on Christmas Eve. No rest for the singles.
Mm-hmm. Lacey, I feel ya. It's hard out there.
Later that evening, Eve is at home putting up some Christmas decorations when Lacey returns for her date, or rather, the lack thereof.
That's why I make all my dates meet me near where I live, because I'm not going to haul my ass all the way out somewhere for you to not show up because I've been stood up way too many times.
I can't even. I do not want a date ever in my life. If Dan dies, God rest his soul, I'm going to be a single spinster for the rest of my life.
Aww. I can't wait to meet all your cats.
They're all going to be named after a Christmas theme, so get ready for that. Lacey got stood up and is not in the best of moods, especially when she notices the heat is out and somebody has demolished the kitchen making, or rather burning, Christmas cookies. And Eve is watching Christmas Cove yet again. Yay. Lacey wants to cheer herself up by watching true crime. My girl, she knows how to have a good time. That's exactly what I would do.
No.
It's return
all about
to
the
Christmas
Hallmark movies.
Nom. Nope. See, I can appreciate a good Hallmark movie, but I have a little love in my heart for true crime. Mm-hmm. Sorry to say.
You're like, I have found my heart place.
I knew it. I thought there was something wrong with me. But I temper it with the Hallmark movies, so that kind of keeps me at an even kilt. Lacey wants to cheer herself up by watching true crime, but Return to Christmas Cove is on. It's the sequel to Christmas Cove. Good dear God. And Lacey leaves to watch TV upstairs, or tries to, but can't because Eve is DVRing the 12 Cats of Christmas. It's a classic.
Such a classic.
Lacey tells her sister that she can't hide out all season and do nothing but watch holiday movies. Eve disagrees.
I disagree too.
Lacey tries to coach her out. Lacey tries to coax her outside, saying, let's go get hot chocolate and look at the Christmas lights. But Eve says, we have lights here, and plugs in a pretty sad looking little wreath with way too many lights on it. And in the process, blows the fuse and plunges the apartment into darkness. She then groans and says, let me get my purse.
This is a common trope in Hallmark movies where somebody plugs in a strand of lights and suddenly the power goes out in the house or through the neighborhood. And I'm like, I really don't think that those little twinkle lights are going to actually plunge you into darkness. But okay.
Those are super special Hallmark twinkle lights.
Don't buy your twinkle lights from Hallmark, FYI.
Guaranteed to blow a fuse in your house, in your neighborhood, or somewhere. Somewhere in the world.
Oh no, the lights are out. Guess we got to go and get hot cocoa.
That's what happens in the next scene. We next find our sisters walking down a dark city street holding, oddly enough, ceramic Christmas mugs? ? I'm assuming it's hot cocoa, but so many questions. What establishment do you go to that serves hot cocoa out of mugs instead of like paper cups?
And Eve's is a giant snowman. They're not matching either. Eve's is a giant snowman, mm-hmm. and then Lacey just has a regular kind of looking mug. I'm thinking that they brought them with them to be, you know, eco-friendly.
Lacey complains to Eve that she cannot watch another Christmas movie. Eve says, why? They're heartwarming and sweet and predictable. Lacey finishes. They meet. They fall in love. It snows. The end. And you do an excellent Lacey. I wrote in my notes to you, Corinne. Thank you. It's because she speaks to me in my soul. She suspects everybody. I suspect everybody. But she forgot to add the dry kiss in there, the kisses interruptus, and the curse, your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Lacey, you think you know it all, but you don't. You don't know it all.
You do not. You don't know. Nope. Eve calls Lacey a scrinch, which is a Scrooge plus a Grinch, so double whammy, and says, life isn't a Christmas movie, but she wishes it was. She'd be so good at it. But Lacey's worried that her sister's hiding away from the world. And Eve says, maybe I am. I mean, our lives kind of suck. We're both single, living in a crappy apartment that we can barely afford. And you have dated every jerk in the city. For once, I want a Christmas movie with the perfect decorations and the Grammy that cooks and the bow. Just then, off in the distance, a gold bell rings. It's held by Santa, who is collecting donations. He interrupts the girls and asks, is that what you really want? And Eve says, yes, more than anything. She crams a wad of bills into Santa's bucket and says, can you handle that, Santa? And Santa asks Lacey, what do you wish for? She pauses, puts money in the bucket, but says nothing. And Eve asks, what you wish for, Lacey? She says, Santa will figure it out. Then they go back to their apartment and fall asleep head to head on the couch in front of the fire. And as they sleep, this weird sparkle light flows all around them.
It's magic.
Bizarre special
it's
effects.
Magic.
Oh, sorry. Magic. Magic sparkle lights flow around them.
I'd really like to know where my wishing Santa is. I want a wishing Santa, please.
Wishing Santas don't exist, Corinne.
What?
This is not a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. I hate to break it to you. Not a Christmas movie.
So there must have been something magical in those swirly things that were flying around their head as they fell asleep on the couch because they needed to sleep in front of the fire because it was too cold in the apartment. In the morning, when they wake up, they are not on the couch. Instead, they are sleeping in a queen-size bed together.
Maybe that special cup of cocoa had a little LSD in it.
Maybe this is just a huge acid trip. Dorothy ain't got nothing on Eve and Lacey. I'm just saying. Eve and Lacey wake up to a creepy music box playing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. They are in Christmas light onesie jammies. Their hair and makeup is done. They have ringlets galore. They have their face powdered to death, bright rouge and fake eyelashes. They look at each other. Eve says, "Did you go to bed with your hair and makeup on?" Lacey says, "No, did you go to bed with your hair and makeup on?" They are like, "What the fuck is going on?" They run over to the mirror. They check themselves out in the mirror and they're like, "Ooh, looking good, sexy, sexy. I've got ringlets
that match my red pajamas."
The Xmas light pajamas, they have something written on the butt. Did you see what it said?
Oh God, I did, and I did not write it down because I rewound it like 6 or 7 times to try to read it when she scooched outside to get the envelope at that one scene. And I think it says like "light it up" or something.
Maybe out like it was it out like a light.
Out like a light. No, I think that's right. Out like a light. Because they were Christmas light pajamas, and when you sleep, you're out like a light. Da dum dum.
So funny. They hear singing off in the distance, and they're like, "Oh shit, we are not alone in this strange house." And they both grab a candelabra, and they walk down the hall with their candelabras over their head, ready to strike whoever may come their way, when we meet Gram Gram. She approaches them and says, "The breakfast is ready," and she holds up her spatula and says, "You want cinnamon waffles? You gotta get through your old Gram Gram first."
Gram Gram scares me a little bit. She's kind of like skating in the first couple of minutes between, like, you could be really, really sweet or kind of crazy.
Yes. Gram Gram really walks the line between sweet and diabolical, and one is never sure which way she is going to go. Basically, this could be a horror movie or... Yeah. And I think for Lacey, regardless, it kind of is a horror movie. There's Christmas everywhere in this house. They go to the dining room. Gran Gran brings her signature cinnamon waffles, and I'm like, "Give me some of that." Eve digs in and she says, "Oh, these are pillowy clouds of heaven." And Lacey says, "Don't eat that. They could be laced with arsenic." Eve says that she will happily eat those arsenic waffles.
Worth
it. She says, "We're not in danger here. It's so cozy." And I'm thinking that's what Hansel and Gretel said before they were caged up by the witch. So I think Lacey kind of has a point there.
Totally. I was totally getting Hansel and Gretel vibes. Is Gram Gram fattening you up for something? What's in that kitchen, really?
Exactly. And the outside of the house, even the framing around the doorway, has kind of a Hansel and Gretel vibe around it as well.
So ridiculous.
Gram Gram joins them for breakfast, and she references that maybe Millie will finally find out who's sending all those gifts from the 12 days of Christmas. So many birds! And you think that's kind of ridiculous. And yet, I saw a Christmas movie this past holiday season where there was somebody who was delivering 12 days of Christmas gifts every day.
No, bad idea.
Yes, there were musical numbers with Lords of Leaping and Maids of Milking. And there was...
So much bird there poop. That's all I can envision.
There were several different kinds of live birds. It was pretty remarkable. Lacey and Eve look at each other and they say, "Oh shit, we're in a Christmas movie."
Dun, dun, dun.
After breakfast, they head out into Holiday Falls Town Square. There is so much fake snow everywhere. There's little fake cotton puffs on the trees. There are wide swaths of white felt thrown down on the ground. Snake foe abounds. Fake snow abounds. Lacey wants out. She is not here for it, but Eve is embracing everything. She's soaking it all in. This is a dream come true. And Lacey says, "This is my nightmare. What are you talking about?" They're still not really sure what's going on when a little newsie comes by, extra, extra, and he hands them a newspaper, and there's an announcement about the Prince of Norgravia getting married on Christmas Day in a week. And that's the clincher. They know 100% for sure. I mean, a Prince of Norgravia. Once again, you have your fake European prince from somewhere, like they do in all the Hallmark movies, and he is being referenced in the newspaper. I'm a little sad, though, that we don't actually get to meet the Prince of Norgravia, and he was not part of the thing.
Truth. I was, like, waiting for him in the background or to walk up, and I was like, Prince, 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 Prince.
The picture of the Prince of Norgravia is a picture of a guy who does often appear in Hallmark movies, so there is that.
Way to add validity to that whole, like, Hallmark parody. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Lacey sees Santa Claus, and she says, isn't that the Santa from last night? There's a little girl, London, who is waiting in line to see Santa, and London says, there's only one Santa. And London is going to ask Santa to bring her daddy home for Christmas, as he is in the armed forces and they are apart during this time. Lacey says to London, I'm going to ask Santa for answers. Eve says Christmas is the day that Santa grants wishes, so she encourages London to believe that her daddy will come home from the military. Lacey is ready. She's primed. She is shoving those kids out of the way and going to the front of the line so she can talk to Santa. Nobody will stop her. She approaches Santa with Eve trailing behind her saying, don't cut in front of the children. You are so going to get on Santa's naughty list. This is not good. She asks Santa why they're there. So he refers to himself in the third person, which I think is weird, and says, Santa brought you here because of the wish you made. Once you fulfill your wish, you will return home.
He's trying to remove some of that guilt off of himself by referring to himself in the third person.
Santa, that's not the way it works.
I would also give Lacey a pass if I woke up in a strange Christmas town that wasn't where I went to sleep. I think I'd be pushing some kids out of the way, too. You want a pony and a teddy bear and a bike. Give me a second. I'm trying to make sure this isn't a bad LSD trip.
I'm not surprised that Lacey did what she did. It was totally true to form. Also, hot cocoa laced with LSD, perhaps not the most seasonal of treats that you want for yourself. Or if you do, make sure you have a minder.
I mean, I'm just like spitballing.
You're spitballing.
Here,
but... mm-hmm. Lacey is not pleased to hear this news. She says, I've got a meeting on Monday, and my boss does not give excused absences for magical Christmas journeys.
Good line.
I know. I'm like, Lacey, you are perfection. Eve is so embarrassed, and she pulls Lacey away. She apologizes to Santa. Eve says, don't worry, we're on Christmas movie time. It was Christmas Eve when we went to sleep, and now we have a week until Christmas, so we won't miss out on our life. Eve is very excited. This is a chance that she has been waiting for. She is ready to fully embrace her Christmas movie life. She just needs to find her storyline. Just then, Gram-Gram rushes towards them in a frenzy. Oh no, the Christmas festival is in trouble, she says. The person who was originally planning it had to go to Frosty Fjord, and now there's no one to plan the festival. Well, Eve is like, haha, my storyline. Oh, me and Lacey will do this. Lacey's like, do you see? I'm practically goth here, even though I'm in red, but this is not by choice. No. I'm not interested in planning a Christmas festival. She says grudgingly, okay. And Gram-Gram moves on, very excited that the Christmas festival will be saved. Eve then is like, okay, so I found my storyline, but where's my beau, my high school sweetheart, whose romantic potential I've long overlooked, even as it stared me in the face? Just then, she is practically tackled by Dustin, the local innkeeper. He thwacks into Eve, and he apologizes and says, hey, I'm looking for Eve Bell. Do you know where she is? I ran into her grandmother and she told me about the Christmas festival and I said I would help. Well, with stars in her eyes, Eve looks at Dustin and is like, yes, there's my true love, the local innkeeper. So they agree to meet up later to plan the Christmas festival. Lacey and Eve continue walking. And Lacey says to Eve, why does all the good stuff happen to you? Where's my bow? And then, off in the distance, they see Chad Michael Murro, the star of Christmas Cove. Lacey thinks, this is my moment. Now I am going to get my bow. Lacey and Eve both say, Chad Michael Monroe. And it is revealed that Lacey, she's a closet romance movie fan because she had the big heart eyes for Chad Michael Monroe. She stands in front of Eve. She is ready for him to approach her and proclaim his love to her. And he walks right past her to Eve. He says, there you are. He offers to walk them home and drops them off. Eve tries to invite him in, but that's just improper. So he's spending the night at the inn, and it would be really awkward with him in the middle of the two sisters in the bed. So,
or would it?
Chick-a-ba-ba.
Maybe that was Lacey's Christmas wish, making a Chad Michael Monro sandwich.
Ooh. He heads back to the inn and Lacey and Eve are talking out front of the house. And Eve says, I have so many choices. The handsome innkeeper or the international pop star? Lacey, who's feeling like the third wheel, says, wow, I can't wait to stand around and find out.
That would be so pissed if I was Lacey. Stuck in a town that's completely Hallmark movie based, which you quote unquote are not into. And then your sister has not one, but two love interests. And you're just supposed to be the sidekick to her, like starring in her own Christmas fantasy.
You make so good. I don't want to leave, but I gotta know what you're meant to see.
And with that song playing in the background, let's go into the house.
I wonder just if kidding. Chad Michael Monro does a cover of that.
Or grand's bumping it in the background as she makes her cookies.
I totally forgot to mention, because he is not the actor Chad Michael Monro. He is, oh. His name is, oh my gosh, I messed that one up. Well, I call him Smarmy McSmarmington, but his name is Russell.
But I mean, same guy, different name.
Yeah.
He plays that character in all the Hallmark movies. He's Mr. Smarmy McSmarmington, and it's no different in this one. Yes, Russell Clark. Gran tells the girls to come inside. She's baked some cookies. And the girls pause and say, do you think calories count here in Holiday Falls? And they said, nah, can't possibly. Let's go have some cookies.
I totally don't think they count in Holiday Falls.
I would be, if I was Lacey then, stuck under the covers in my bed, eating cookies, probably trying to feed my sorrows away and not leave the house until Eve fulfills whatever thing she's got to do.
I don't know, but do you want to be staying at home with somewhat creepy grandma?
She's bringing me cookies,
maybe? I'll take the waffles. You can have all the cookies.
If you want cookies she will bring. Because when the girls go inside the house, there were cookies everywhere.
Everywhere.
Cookies on the table, cookies on the counter. Graham flings open the refrigerator door. There's cookies filling their fridge.
And I'm like, why do you want to refrigerate cookies? That's the worst.
Because she ran out of space to put them, because she's a cookie-making fiend. It literally looks like Graham smoked a fat doobie, got the munchies, and tried to bake every cookie in the cookie aisle.
Where are all her cookie jars? Like, I want her Christmas-themed cookie jars just abounding with cookies on the top.
If we ever go to Holiday Falls, we'll bring Graham some cookie jars.
Oh my gosh.
She obviously needs
them. Yes, she does, and she will love them. She will be so grateful.
After they walk through the kitchen, Graham turns around and produces a special red box and says, These are my favorite things, but I'm not taking them out until you girls change. And they do. Emerging from the bedroom in two of the gaudiest red reindeer sweaters, which are matching, of course.
You know those were laid out on their bed? Like, Grand-Gram was like, oh, they're gone. Now let me lay these clothes out on their bed so that when they come back, they'll have something festive to change into.
Yeah, I think it's a rule. It's like you can't walk into Grand-Gram's house unless you're wearing something festive, apparently. So it's like, I can't talk to you until you put on your holiday sweaters. Mm-hmm. Gran opens the box and takes out two very mediocre ornaments and holds each with reverence and says, Eve, you made this for me when you were younger, and it's my favorite. And then she turns to Lacey and said, this ornament is from your dance recital, and it's also my favorite. And the sisters look at each other and whisper, these are hideous. We were not talented children. Gram-Gram then asks Eve to decorate the tree. Lacey protests, saying, she's not very good at that, but this is Holiday Falls. So she grabs the ornaments, and with a few grunts and a couple of flicks of her wrist, she creates the most beautiful tree. And they gaze at it lovingly. But in actuality, it just looks like a Christmas tree that was dipped in flocking frosting. Eve whispers, I'm amazing. And the scene ends. The next day, Eve and Dustin are brainstorming about how to save the Christmas festival. They're being really innovative and unique and bouncing ideas off each other, like hot chocolate stand and asking for donation decorations and calling the celebration Winter Wonderland.
Very innovative.
They are practically finishing each other's sentences and are so completely in sync that they both brought very large binders filled with ways to save Christmas. Eve's binder reads, 13-point plan to save Christmas. And Dustin's reads, a 12-point plan to save Christmas.
And I love how there's a full-length picture of both of them integrated into the cover of the binder. Their hands Vanna Whiting the title of 12-point and 13-point Christmas.
And where did you find the time to do that? Photoshop it onto the binder like you're presenting your wonderful great ideas.
She's all hopped up on sugar. All those cookies. Yeah. She had to like boot up grandma's Commodore 64 and, and craft that thing in the best way she knew how.
Eve notes that Dustin's binder says 12, whereas hers says 13. And he says, you know, I'm just efficient. Dustin gazes at Eve. There's just something about her. And he says, I'm really glad we're doing this together. And she gazes into his eyes and says, me too. And then a voice off in the distance says, so do you guys need my help or? And apparently Lacey was forgotten. She's sitting on a bench and they were so into each other. They completely forgot she was there. So she just says, I'm just going to go explore. You guys just do your thing. And she walks off. Eve chases her and starts apologizing. In the middle of the apology, they get slammed into by a grouchy old man that looks like, no, yes, it's Mr. Peterson, ooh, Eve's boss, who has magically traveled to Christmas Land to ruin their movie, or so Lacey thinks. Eve assures her that Mr. Peterson will have the most heartwarming Christmas of all.
And he's listed in the credits as Scrooge. And he's dressed up like he's dressed up like he's in a Dickens novel when he is in Holiday Falls. Makes sense.
I'm just saying Mr. Peterson is probably acting the most normal out of everybody there. And he's considered the Scrooge. And I read another review where they say that Eve is the nice and Lacey's the naughty sister. And I'm like, ick. I know. I'm like, I am Lacey. So what does that say about me? And so Lacey eventually wanders into the Holiday Falls bakery and assumes that since they're stuck in a Christmas movie and calories don't count, she's going to have at it. She stares hungrily at the cookies behind the glass when a man behind her says, hi. She gets overly startled and runs into this display, trips, and the man catches her, twirls her, and then dips her while saying, it's nice of you to drop in. Lacey gazes into his eyes, says hi, and as he continues to hold her, she eventually says, okay, nope, Moment's over. Please stand me up now. The man winds up being the shopkeeper, Paul, and he hands her a Christmas tree cookie and asks, what brings you in today?
And he's looking at her with heart eyes.
Oh, yeah. I have heart eyes. So many. Bloop, 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 bloop. So many heart eye references in my notes.
He's really good at heart eyes.
He's so good at heart eyes. They're real heart eyes because they're actually married in real life. That's why it's so genuine.
Aww.
So when Paul hands her a Christmas cookie and asks her what brings her in today, she says, cookies.
What do you think, motherfucker?
And then says, can you please stop staring at me? Which he is doing with hearts in his eyes. She asks, how much do I owe you for the cookie? And he says, it's free. And then she kind of grumbles, is the entire economy of this town to give things away? And Paul's like, yeah, isn't that great? She asks, you kind of look like a normal guy. What is there to do that's fun around here? And Paul says, yes, lots. Yesterday I got in a snowball fight with some kids. And apparently that's not Lacey's kind of fun. Shocking. So she thanks Paul and leaves. And he sighs and swoons after her. And I'm so conflicted about Paul because he's by far the most adorable guy, I think, in this whole movie. Oh, but he also gives strong notes of, like, my best friend's 11-year-old little brother that has a crush on me. And he kind of acts like a man-child. So I'm super conflicted about finding him attractive.
There's a whole man-child vibe going on for sure. And in many ways, he has his shit together. And he is really sweet. Also, I think he really sees Lacey for who she is, which is great. But wow. Yeah.
All those other things, though, coupled with that. We'll get into some of the other things that he does that are questionable. So,
Oh, yes.
I'm not being harsh. There's some more on the horizon that just kind of adds to that opinion of Paul. Dustin and Eve are walking around the town square. Dustin asks, how do you like it at Holiday Falls? And Eve said she loves it. The days are festive. The town's beautiful. The guys are hot. But she instead says chivalrous, not hot. I said hot. Dustin says he loves hanging with her, and I'm going caroling tonight, and if you'd like, I'd love you to accompany me. And she whispers, swoon. And Dustin says, what? And she goes, I'd love to. And they make a date for 8, and I put asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Corinne, they actually pick a time and do some concrete planning.
They pick a time and a location, which,
yes,
is so rare in holiday movies because usually they're like, okay, so let's meet up for that date. And then they just go on their separate ways. And you're like, when? Where? How? You didn't exchange numbers. What's going on here?
Are you calling me? Am I calling you? Like, how are we doing this?
How are we doing this? And how are we calling each other when we don't have each other's phone numbers? Don't know.
Or phones, apparently.
Or phones. Because nobody seems to have phones that work that they can communicate with each other with in Hallmark movies. Eve comes back from her lovely planning day with Dustin. She walks in on Graham and Lacey making gingerbread houses. Lacey's fingers are all gummy with royal icing. And she's got the most pitiful gingerbread house that I have ever seen. Lacey is looking up resentfully at Eve. Where were you? Weren't you making a fucking gingerbread house? Graham is making me do this. And look at Graham's, which is like this beautiful cottage with Nilla wafers for like the roof shingles. It's gorgeous.
I want to eat it.
Lacey says to Eve, don't judge me. When you touch everything, it kind of turns to gold. And Eve says, if you stay a scrinch, nothing magical will ever happen. Just then, there's a knock on the door. Could it be? Is it Paul delivering a box of cookies? Because Lacey really should have picked up more than one cookie when she's like, I'm going to let caution go to the wind and have cookies. Instead, I'm just walking out with one tree cookie. Or is it Dustin saying, you forgot your binder here. Let's gaze longingly into each other's eyes. Oh, no, it is not. It's Russell, a.k.a. Smarmy McSmarmington. Graham answers the door and he says, Mrs. Bell, pleasure to meet you. I'm Russell Clark. Graham says that she ran into him and invited him over for dinner that evening. So they're all sitting around the dinner table.
If she ran into him, then why is he introducing himself?
Because he's just that pretentious, I think.
That makes sense.
So they're having dinner. Lacey looks like she's in a special kind of hell. Eve is sort of delighted by the whole thing. And Russell is holding Rain at the head of the table, pontificating about so many things. The Prince of Norgravia is mentioned about how he's marrying a commoner. And Russell says, yes, well, you know, the tabloids have mentioned that I'm dating a commoner too. And he looks over at Eve and mouths, you're welcome. To her.
That's such a dick thing to say. Oh, I've bestowed my love across upon you, Eve, you lucky little regular person.
Eve doesn't seem as nonplussed as I would be, but Lacey is definitely unimpressed. Russell continues to be pompous. Their meal wraps up. And as Russell and Eve are standing by the door, oh, Eve, I got you something. And he pulls out a little box. And I'm thinking, what could be inside of it? I was hoping he'd propose, honestly. But it is the ugliest wreath necklace that I have ever seen. It looks like something
it's what you
would buy at the Dollar Tree store.
It's beautiful.
It has the colors of Christmas in it, he says.
I really think that Eve knows what the colors of Christmas are, but thanks for pointing that out, Russell.
Oh, Russell. She's excited by the wreath necklace. I looked at it like when I was dating this guy and he bought me a necklace with an owl on it, which could be very cute, but instead it was like something that you would buy an 8-year-old for their birthday. And I said, thank you. Yeah, this is not going to happen. Russell goes on his merry way, and Lacey and Eve are in the living room, and Lacey says, I'm so bored. Eve invites her to go caroling with her and Dustin, and Lacey says that's a hard pass. Then she suggests Lacey go for a walk, and she's like, I'm not going to go for a walk. From the kitchen, Graham yells, hey, you want to make cookies with me? And Lacey's like, okay, yeah, bye. I'm going for a walk, Graham. Sorry, can't. See you later. Then we hit upon a pivotal moment in the movie. Lacey goes into this, I don't know, little business establishment that has a park bench in it.
It looks suspiciously like the bakery, but with different furniture.
And perhaps it is. And so she's sitting on the bench, and she looks down, and there's a red envelope on the bench, and it says Lacey on it. She opens it up, and there's a picture of two little gingerbread people doing the dipsy twirl on the front of the card.
When I first saw that, and I didn't understand or I didn't recognize the reference he was making, I was like, why is that boy gingerbread man giving it to the girl gingerbread man from behind?
Oh my gosh. Like,
gingerbread porn.
And I was like,
he's been, when he caught her and he spun her, but for a split second I was like, what the?
Ooh. Gingerbread porn.
I guarantee you, look at it again and try not to see that. Mm-hmm. The gingerbread man.
Anna, what's on your mind?
Hitting it from behind.
She knows exactly who the card is from, and she says, oh, it's you, trying to look casually at the Christmas tree in the corner like, what? He turns around and is like, oh, hey, fancy meeting you here. It's Paul. He slipped the card onto the bench like a stealthy ninja while she wasn't looking, and then went back into the corner to casually gaze at the Christmas tree.
Super cash.
No stalker vibes going on here. He said, I just happened to be coming back from the animal shelter helping puppers, and I saw you there, and I thought I'd give you this card. And she said, a specifically handcrafted card? You just happened to have that on you? And he's like, yeah, totally. He plays it off and invites her to come over and help bake treats for the puppers. She's like, okay, what else am I going to do? Stand off to the side while Eve has all her romances? I'll try making treats for the puppers at the bakery tomorrow. So we move on to Eve meeting up with Dustin for caroling. Eve is in front of the tree. She's waiting. And Dustin approaches. He is wearing a Christmas sweater with basically the Beatles Abbey Road picture in knit on it, except it's got elves instead of the Beatles walking across the street. Cute. It's a classy Christmas sweater. Eve says, "Where's everybody else?" And Dustin said, "Oh no, it's just us two. Caroline for two." So he asked her out on a date. Cha-ching. She's like, "Got a man, got a man." So she says, "Well, I'm not a great singer." He says, "Well, you know, it doesn't matter. Just have fun," which is what I say to people too. I don't care. As long as you're enjoying yourself.
Most people that sing good say that. Corinne, I'm looking at you intently.
I don't care.
Most people that could sing pretty well are like, "Oh, you can't sing? That's fine. Just do it for fun. Yeah. I'm just going to blow you out of the water real quick."
No. So he starts off with, you know, "Deck the halls with boughs of holly." And his voice is lovely. And then she comes forth and she sounds like a fucking Disney princess. Her fa-la-la-la-las are beautiful. And she's like, "What? Hey, I typically can't hold a tune in a bucket, but in Holiday Falls, I sure can sing. Thank goodness." They're singing in the empty plaza and Scrooge hangs his head out the window and is like, "Shut up!" They continue singing anyways, and she does her final fa-la-las as she spins and twirls into his arm. They're in an embrace with him wrapping his arms around her from behind, almost like the pornographic Christmas card that Tammy referenced. And he asks her if she would like to go for a carriage ride. He takes her out on a horse-drawn carriage, as one frequently does, you know. How many horse-drawn carriages have you been on, Tammy?
Nope, none. But I am hallmarking that for something we do together because I love that scene over a covered wooden bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful horse-drawn carriage. Hallmarking that. We need to do that at some point.
I definitely think so. Plus, I think it would make our friendship stronger.
I'm not taking my significant no. other that I've been with for 18 years. No. We're doing this together.
Exactly. He pops up in the carriage. He's like, "Hey." That just happened to be nearby. So on their carriage ride, Dustin talks about how he moved here from the city where he had a dream of restoring a historical hotel, but it didn't end up working out. Eve says, "Why would you want to leave here? This is the perfect life." Dustin points out, "Is this the life I chose or the one I escaped to?" And I said, "Eve, look in the mirror. That's you. You should be thinking about that. Hold that mirror up to your face." After that moment, there is no kiss. There is no transition from the carriage. We just fade out.
Guess what, Corinne?
What?
We both live in the city.
Ooh,
theoretically speaking.
Yes, we do. Oh, that must mean we're in the same place. This is so exciting.
The girls wake up the next morning and Lacey sees a familiar red envelope on the bedroom window. Could it be? She gets up in a huff and says, "No, creepy stalker dude, no." She goes outside, snatches a car, and brings it back in. Their pajamas were green, right? And the part that says the saying on their butt was in red. The color choice just makes them look like baboon butts because it's just like so
Tamara,
red and so in your face.
Those are the colors of Christmas.
Oh, it all makes sense now. Of course they are. Oh, that the pajamas are perfect.
Yes, they are.
They're absolutely perfect.
They're perfect.
She snatches a card and brings it back, and Eve opens it and finds a cute little cutout of a dog and a cat decorating treats.
Aww.
And Eve says, "That's adorable." But Lacey's like, no, that's too much. And I need to put a stop to this. Paul's a creeper. And Eve says, "Speaking of putting a stop to things, I gotta break up with Russell." She feels bad seeing two guys at once, and Lacey's like, why? You're not committed to either of them. What's the harm in playing the field? That always seems to be like a dilemma, like girls that are seeing two people in Hallmark movies never seem to want to just keep on dating them. They're just like, I must pick one.
I feel that way in my life. You know, like, I hate it when I'm dating like two people at the same time. I feel very conflicted because I don't want to lead the other one on.
That's probably why.
The choice between Dustin and Russell is a pretty obvious one.
Of course, but they've seen him for so long as this like Hallmark leading man in the movies. Mm-hmm. Like there's got to be like a little bit of starstruckedness that goes along with it that I understand. But yeah, I know. Dustin, Team Dustin all the way. They leave a little while later, only to find a bunch of little red envelopes on each bush placed lovingly in a trail across the front of the house. Not strange or inappropriate at all.
No, not at all. I've never thought not I would ever say the word card stalker, but I kind of am thinking it very strongly now.
Yes, 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 yes. Lacey says goodbye as she snatches up the envelopes, embarrassed, and hustles off to break Paul the Breaker's heart. In the town square a little later, Eve and Dustin are singing beautifully as they decorate for the festival. Then, a beautiful voice joins them off in the distance. Who's this? The new singer happens to be Noelle of St. Vanderflute. It's Dustin's ex-girlfriend from the big city. She came to help save the festival.
The plot thickens.
Noelle selflessly planned on staying in the city, but when she found out that the Holiday Falls Festival was in danger of getting canceled, why, she had to come all the way down here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And
priorities.
Who cares if she's never actually set foot in the city? Dustin described it with such loving detail that she felt like she'd been there, and she's here to help.
Dustin looks fucking pissed off. He is so nonplussed about that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, go back to the city, please.
Yes. She weasels into helping them by regaling Eve with all the highfalutin parties that she's attended before, including the royal wedding. Dustin is behind Noelle, discreetly shaking his head at Eve. Saying no. But Eve's like, we of course need all the help we can get. I don't see why you can't help out, Noelle. Noelle gives her a double mwah, mwah, thank you so much kiss and toodles off.
Ooh, would you say that Eve has already gotten two dry kisses then?
From a girl. I like it. I like where this is going.
It's practically a lesbian makeout sesh.
And then Noelle says, we'll get started when I get back. And Eve says, we already did start. Hello. But in all fairness, they had like two little trees up. So I kind of get the oversight because it didn't look like they had much there yet. And Eve stops and realizes Noelle is the quintessential obstacle that I need to overcome in order to be with Dustin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Across the square, Paul is making cookies in the bakery with the cutest little girl, London. Lacey bursts in and says, I'm not here to decorate. We need to talk about your cards. And she notices the little girl and she's like, ugh. They're nice, but they're stalkery and weird and way too much. And when were you at my bedroom window? Like, come on. Paul says, okay, I can take a hint. And Lacey says, no, that's not a hint. I'm blatantly telling you to stop.
I love how clear she is.
Yeah. No, like, speaking in innuendos.
Nope.
Or there's just like, straight up, dude, you're creepy. Stop it.
She's just like,
you cannot
no
sneak
means
up
no.
to my bedroom window.
Nah.
Yeah. No means no. And does he take it? No. Freaking patriarchy. He's like, I can take a hint. Paul, no means no. And just then, London pipes up and says, you look really beautiful today. I'm not even going to try to do this.
You
Stephanie
did a great
talk that she does. She sounds
London. I was impressed.
She sounds. She's so dang cute. She says, you look really beautiful today. Here's a little something for Paul. And she produces a familiar red envelope from her pocket. And Paul stops her and says, no, 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 no. Lacey doesn't like cars. And London scoffs in disbelief and says, but Paul, you make the best cards ever.
Oh, my God.
He says, it's okay, London. Not everyone likes everything. In fact, I don't like candy canes and people think I'm crazy. And you might not be too far off there, Paul. Not about the candy canes, but about the stalkery envelopes you leave everywhere.
I think London is diabolical. She's like...
Oh, heck yeah.
She has her motives and she just goes for it. She's often just like running around.
Yes.
Leaves a five-year-old unsupervised. Just to like...
Well, you know, Dad's not around, so...
Run around
Mom's
willy-nilly.
Doing it on her own. I have a theory. I think that it's Santa's elf in disguise.
Ooh.
That's just running around doing Santa's bidding with her cute little stuffed-nosed adorable self.
I love it.
Lacey is, after this, guilted into taking the card... Because London's so dang cute, mm-hmm. and she feels bad. And when she opens it up, she finds a drawing of her sleeping on the front of the card.
Not creepy at all.
And she
totally
says,
normal.
Thank you, adorable token child. And for some reason, after seeing that card, decides to stay and help decorate cookies. And she just looks at Paul and says, don't ever draw me sleeping again. It's creepy. And Paul says, noted, and quietly pulls two other envelopes from his apron and tucks them away out of Lacey's eyesight.
There were more
and
than
God
two.
God knows what are on those ones.
There were like,
okay, well,
five. And there was like a solid chunk of cards that he pulled out of his pocket and was like, I'm just going to get rid of these guys here.
God only knows what was on those cards, so I think that's probably a good choice, Paul.
Yes.
If they were progressively getting creepier.
He listened to her, and he was like, okay, she doesn't want any more cards. I have this assortment of cards that I enthusiastically made her, and I'm just going to toss these bad boys. So he gets some points for that.
Paul, have you ever heard of boundaries? I'm just asking.
He's learning about them, and Lacey's here to teach
okay.
him.
Got it. Okay. Hopefully she doesn't have to teach him much else in the ways of love. Just saying. Eve is still outside with Dustin and Noelle. She's placing poinsettias in the tree when she notices the ex-couple talking. And of course she has to interrupt because that's my man. But she doesn't say that. That's me. She interrupts and Noelle explains that they have done so much already, but she has some great ideas for creating an experience. Note, she does not have a binder like the other two.
Oh my God, if she had pulled out a binder, that would have been so good.
Noelle asks, you know, what do you want the festival to feel like? And Dustin and Eve are like, joy? Cheer? And Noelle says, no, 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 prestige.
Nothing says Christmas like prestige.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And Noelle's going to be the one to get their quaint little gathering to the next level.
Aw, thanks, Noelle.
You're so selfless. Sometime later, little adorable London / Santa's secret evil elf leaves the bakery. And Lacey and Paul say goodbye and share a look. And Lacey looks a little troubled. And Paul says, what's wrong? Did I put too much ginger in the cookies? And she says, no, that's actually the most fun I've had in a long time. And Paul says, is it because you missed the city? And she says, no, you know, I'm just not very good at staying in places for long. And Paul says, is there anything I could do to help? And she says, if you can get me a meeting with Santa. And he says, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's always in the square. I could take you there right now. What? I'm sane.
Dustin and Eve are back in the square. They are wrapping presents. They are having a romantical chat about the mystery of presents and their potential. He leans towards her slowly for a kiss. They're both making eyes at each other. They're in the tractor beam of love. Her lips start to pucker, and she sees a banner with Russell McSmarmington's name on it. The kiss tractor beam is broken, and she jerks away.
Kiss tractor beam.
Dustin is startled, but that's the way life is. Hallmark movies are full of kisses interruptus. After the broken kiss, we move back to our friends Lacey and Paul. And Paul is taking Lacey to Santa. He brings her to the sleigh, but no one's there. Lacey's like, Sam is not even here. Paul says, well, he usually is. And then off in the distance, jingle, 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 jingle.
Oh, oh, oh.
There's Santa. He's magically in the sleigh. Lacey's chatting with Santa. She's like, everything is happening to Eve. Why am I even here?
Fair question.
Santa says, did you get what you wished for? Wonderful things can happen when you give a place or a person a chance. Paul responds with a, oh. He's soaking in the Santa wisdom. And she says, why talk in metaphors? Tell it to me straight, Santa. Tell it to me straight. Then Santa disappears. Paul has a special connection with Santa, I feel like. And Lacey wonders where Santa went. And he's like, North Pole, obvs. They go on their merry way. Lacey has something to think about, being open to love and vulnerable and open to people, even if they seem like, I don't know, maybe a little stalkerish. I'm just saying.
I was going to say, Santa's testing her boundaries by being like, I am presenting you with this person that will love you forever. That's going to really creep you out at first. So.
Eve is back at the house. Russell McSmarmington appears and he brings Eve an ugly bouquet of flowers. Eve is like, now is the moment. I'm going to break up with Russell McSmarmington. Thank you. She awkwardly puts the ugly flowers to the side. She says, let's have a chat. So they go and sit down on the couch. She tries returning the ugly wreath necklace to him, but no, no, no. That's for you, my beloved Evie. Russell spits out a word salad about how he can only be himself with Eve. And Eve is sucked in by his, quote, vulnerability and can't bring herself to break up with Russell McSmarmington. They part ways and we move on to the next scene where the sisters are walking and talking. Lacey goes, so you break up with Russell McSmarmington? And Lacey says, no, I chickened out. Eve says, but what about you? Did you break up with Paul? Lacey said, I decided to like him instead. Lacey and Eve are walking around the square having this conversation. Eve is happy that her sister has finally found a little something to love. And she excitedly responds, yay, we can double date. Lacey says, not as a fivesome we can't. Noelle hears this as they walk by. She gets a diabolical look on her face. She has a plan. Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm.
Then we find Paul inside his bakery. There's a line of gingerbread men standing on the corner and he is giving them a pep talk. He points his spatula at them and says, I need you all out there today. The town is counting on you. You must be sweet and chewy. And in walks Lacey. And he looks at her embarrassed and kind of sheaths his spatula behind his back. And Lacey hands him something. She turned the tables and brought him a card.
Oh, yeah.
Inside is a hand-drawn gingerman that says, you're so sweet, I could eat you up. And she admits that she made another version where she was actually chewing on the gingerbread's man, but she didn't think it was too much in the Christmas spirit.
Hmm.
But Paul loves it.
As well he
and
should.
And he says, it's very you.
Yes. And I love that scene where he's talking to the gingerbread men. So cute.
That was like one of his more endearing moments mm-hmm. where I'm like, you get a pass for, I don't know what to call that, but.
Words escape you.
Words escape me and what that was. But I liked it and I was okay with it. They wish each other a Merry Christmas Eve and says, I need to go help Eve finish decorating the town square and do some last minute festival prep. Do you want to come with me? And he says, I would love to. At the square, Eve's wondering where the vendors and decorations for the festival are. They should be here by now. It's already Christmas Eve, after all, and she wants everything to be perfect. Lacey and her new friend Paul show up, and Paul comments that, I'm surprised nobody's asked me about the Christmas cookies this year. I mean, I usually make them every year for the festival. And Dustin looks rattled and says, wait, Noelle hasn't talked to you? Because we definitely talked about cookies and she hasn't seen you? And Paul's like, nope, nada, nothing. No cookie talking going on. And in comes Noelle with Russell McSmarmington in tow. And Dustin's like, where have you been? And where are the decorations and vendors and everything? And Noah's like, oh, you're so cute when you worry. Don't worry. Don't fret. I have it all under control. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to come over and introduce Russell's going to be the headliner. And Paul's super starstruck and says, oh, my gosh. Russell McSmarmington, sir, I have all of your albums, even the one that you created in Japan and tried to race off the internet. It's not my favorite, but I'm still a big fan. And they shake hands.
And he says, it's not my favorite either.
If you're trying to take it off to the internet, there must be a reason why. Yes. Then it becomes apparent why Noel brought Russell in. And he says, hello, Eve. And Noel's like, oh, Eve, you don't need any introduction to your boyfriend. And just as Dustin is about to hold on to Eve's hand, he hears that and whips it away and says, boyfriend? Have you been seeing someone this entire time? And Eve says, yes, no. And then Noel says, oh, geez, I hope I didn't cause any trouble. Dustin says, Eve, were you just going to string me along? And she says, no, I was going to break up with Russell. And Russell's like, say what now? Do you know who I am? I am Russell McFucking McSmarmington.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You don't break up with me.
I gave you a beautiful wreath necklace. How dare you? That was practically
and
a promise.
And some really crappy flowers. And Russell leaves in a huff. He's going to blow out of this little po-dunk town.
Yeah.
And Noel tries to stop him and says, you still have to perform for the festival. But nope, he's out. He's not going to play. He's leaving back to the big city.
Oh, Noel, what did you think was going to happen? Jeez. You didn't put that part together?
Dustin leaves too, saying, we'll finish this, but after that, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Eve is a heartbreaker and heartbroken.
Aww.
Lacey says, we can help with the festival. There's still time. But Eve just leaves, defeated, saying, I'll just see you at Graham's later.
Aww. Oh, and when Noel introduces Russell and Dustin is about to hold Eve's hand, and then he finds out that Eve is Russell's girlfriend, he says, Curse
your sudden and inevitable betrayal. I was like, where do I inject that? Because there was such betrayal. Betrayal to Russell, betrayal to Dustin, betrayal all around.
All around. This was just a monument to curse your sin but inevitable betrayal.
Indeed. Later, Noel catches up with Dustin and says, I can't wait for you to see the new direction I took for the festival. Obs, her vision was fucked up. There's a wannabe decoupage tree in place of the real one. The new theme is city lights. And there's not any lights.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no lights.
City lights during a blackout.
There's just a horrible, quote, modern triangular mess of tree, which is not cute.
You can't even call it a tree. Dustin and Eve are gobsmacked. This is not what they discussed. You didn't see this coming when you fully handed the reins over to the disgruntled ex-girlfriend and entrusted her with the fate of the festival? Shocker.
She was too busy being in love.
Oh, of course. Well, Eve's journey was the festival, and she got sidetracked, and that's what happens. She spends the budget on the ugly tree and the special hot chocolate from Chantel's. And so to conclude, they have an ugly tree, overpriced hot chocolate, no normal tree, no gifts, no decorations, no performance, no money, and that equals no festival. Eve thinks it's still salvageable, but Dustin pulls the plug. The Christmas festival's off. The time of death, Christmas Eve.
Dun, dun, dun. Ooh, that's a nice line there.
Thank you.
And
Thank you
kind of tied it into true crime. Nice.
Always trying to intertwine my two loves together. Everyone leaves in a huff. And while Paul and Lacey are walking away to mull over how they can help Eve. And Paul says, you'll figure it out. You're Lacey Bell. You're kind, smart. You make everyone smile when you walk into the room. You're the most unique person I've ever met. You're like a snowflake. You just don't melt that easily. And you're not like anyone else. That's why I like you. And of course, Lacey retorts with all the self-loathing she can muster. She's the girl who quits when things get hard, who hasn't been in a relationship for 10 years, who only dates jerks because they can't hurt her. And she tells Paul that he makes everything beautiful. She doesn't deserve him. He says, yes, you do. You deserve good things, Lacey.
True.
And she says she doesn't think she does and walks away.
Aww, Lacey. Break. Come on. Why ruin a good thing? And now we're in the waterfall of fuck my life, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal, and it just gets worse. Eve runs into London, who is, of course, on her own because, you know, a five-year-old, right? Totally independent. London says, Eve, are you ready for Christmas? And Eve responds, I'm not ready for Christmas. My problems just followed me here. And London responds earnestly, Christmas is a day that wishes come true. And Eve, child dream crusher. Now, I want to point out that Lacey, who was ready to rip Paul a new one, tempered things because London was there. Eve does not hold back. She says, I'm not sure about that anymore. And London is in tears. If your wish doesn't come true, what about mine? And she runs off. So Eve callously implied that Santa is not going to grant her her wish and breaks the heart of cute little London.
Boy, it took less than a week for Eve to get bitter.
The sisters are back in the living room at Gram Gram's, and they're examining the rubble of their holiday falls life. They basically say to each other, hey, yeah, so this was a super crappy day. Everything's ruined. Good night. And they go to bed. The next day is Christmas morning, and Lacey says, I want to go home. Maybe we can find Santa and he'll send us back. And Eve says, you're not good at sticking around. You're not great at keeping jobs or guys or anything like that. I'm a little surprised by Eve retaliating at her sister like that. Lacey's like, well, fuck you very much. You've got talent and let people pass over you. They're both pissed off. Lacey says, I'm going out. Eve is sitting at the table all up in her feels and Gram Gram comes in. She is happy as a clam. Oh, she's so full of Christmas joy. Merry Christmas. And Eve says, it would be, but everything sucks. And Gram Gram looks at her with a scary, steely gaze and is like, look, fucker, there is a very little time that we get to spend together. And if you're going to be an asshole and sulky, that is not how I want you. You need to be present and happy when you're in Gram Gram's house enjoying her fucking cinnamon waffles. Cut the crap. It's Christmas morning. What are you going to do to make things better? After Gram Gram slaps Eve around, Eve has an opportunity. Will she follow the advice of Gram Gram and cut the crap? Or will she hide in the bed that she shares with her sister at Gram Gram's house under all the Afghans eating cookies? Only Tamara has the answer for that.
A new grandma was going to go from zero to crazy at some point, and it just happened.
It totally just happened.
Gram Gram's a badass. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that was a good moment. She's all sweetness and goodness. And then when she comes out, she's like, cut the shit. I'm like, oh.
You do a great Gram Gram voice. I'm impressed.
It's because she's just like really made an impression on me with her realness. We see Lacey back in the town square licking her wounds. And she reaches into her pocket and she pulls out a card that says, Lacey, you make me feel like Christmas every day. And she just gazes at it when she hears Eve run up and say, Lacey, you were right about everything. I do let people pass me over. My job, the Christmas festival. And Lacey says, oh, you were right too. I'm tired of running and I'm tired of starting over. What are we going to do?
We're going to save Christmas.
How are we going to do that? It's Christmas. Christmas is today. Eve smiles and says, don't worry, I have a plan. They both rush over to Paul's bakery and Lacey apologizes to him saying, I'm so sorry. I thought I would mess things up with you. And so I purposely messed them up first. You believed I was a good person. And because of that, I believe that too.
And Paul says, you had me at hello.
Real quick, I also need your help with the Christmas festival. And Paul practically claps his hands excitedly and says, what's the plan?
I love how he goes,
and yes, my God, like a little tween girl, he squeals. Next is the montage of all montages to save Christmas. There are Christmas binder appearances. They are posting signs. They're packing cookies. Grams is walking down the square with an oversized box full of a crap ton of lights. There's some chocolate drinking. There's some decorating. And in true montage fashion, everything gets done in record time.
Yay! It's the magic of the montage.
Bring, bring, bring. Little London overhears Eve fret over what are they going to do about the entertainment since Russell McMurmingprin is not performing. And little London gets a evil glint in her eye and says, I know what we're going to do. And the fact that she does actually whisper it makes it a little more scary.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And, yeah. And, of course, she runs off on her own because she's five.
She's grown to five.
She's alone. Unsupervised. Practically see her tootling off with the cigarette in her hand because, you know, she's five. She winds up at Russell's hotel and she sees him in the lobby and she marches in front of him and refuses to let him leave. He tries to get around her, but she stops him again and says, Russell, you need to perform at the festival.
Yes.
And Russell says, no, little girl. There's nothing that's going to make me go. And London says, you don't want to make a little girl cry, do you? And he looks down at her as her eyes begin to fill with tears and sighs. What does that mean? I don't know.
He has fallen under the spell of London and is like, I cannot break a little girl's heart. I will perform.
Even though she's secretly Santa's little evil elf that has everybody do her bidding eventually.
Paul, Lacey, Eve, Graham. They're all at the Christmas festival. Is anyone going to come? Who knows? Oh, wait. There's a trickle of people. Oh, there's more. Oh, everybody's filtering into the square.
I hate to say it, but every time the group of people, like, or especially when they trickle into the square, it, like, kind of reminds me of a horror movie because it's very, like, Stepford Wives and they're all similar but not. And they all come at the same time and kind of move in the same way. It's a little bit freaky, but...
The gates have opened. The gates of hell.
And all of a sudden, the movie takes a real dark turn.
London's like, you have all fallen under my spell. Now I will rule you all.
Her head starts spinning around and she spews green slime.
Aw, thanks, London. Everybody gathers. Russell goes up on stage and is like, yes, it's me, Russell McSmarmington. He takes his guitar. He elaborately swings one chord and then he very poorly pretends to play the guitar while he lip syncs very badly along with this completely electronic track that doesn't have any kind of guitar in it whatsoever. And I had this song going through my head all day yesterday. It was a horrible song.
Do not sing it. I'm begging you, don't sing it. Don't do it.
Fortunately, it has left my brain right now, so I couldn't sing it unless I looked it up. So we're moving on from that shit show of a song. Everybody is very excited. They're yelling and cheering. Yay! Russell McSmarmington, you're so McSmarmy. Eve is looking on with a very satisfied look. She has channeled all of her heartache from losing Dustin into something practical in saving the Christmas festival. And who approaches her but Noelle, who actually apologizes for fucking up Christmas. I was like, thank you, Noelle, because you totally screwed the pooch on that one. I will tell you that. She thought that she knew the right and best way to do things like I sometimes do, and then I fuck things up, and...
No, not you!
In reality, I should just, like, sit the fuck down and shut up. She messed up with her vision d'art of Christmas, which we don't need to go angular on Christmas. So Christmas is a cozy thing. We don't need to go Beetlejuice on Christmas, basically, is really what it is. And that's where she went. Eve accepts her apology. She gets a little twinkle in her eye and she says, oh, Noelle, will you do me a favor? Because she sees Noelle looking with hard eyes at Russell McSmarmington. She says to herself, Oh my gosh, Russell McSmarmington is completely self-involved and doesn't really pay attention to anyone but himself. Noelle is completely self-involved and doesn't pay attention to anyone but herself. Together, they would be a perfect match made in heaven. They're both so self-involved that they won't notice that the other person isn't giving them the attention that they need. Eve takes the horrible wreath necklace that she is still wearing around her neck off, hands it to Noelle, and says, all cash-like, hey, Noelle, would you mind going and giving this to Russell? Noelle's like, only if it would help you. And she runs off to the stage.
So selfless.
So selfless. Oh no, I need to eat this cake to make you feel better? Okay, I'll do that.
For you.
Only if it helps you out. Lacey looks over at Eve and says, well, that was really nice. And Eve responds, there's a perfect match for everyone. Two self-centered people, two people in love. London melts the heart of Scrooge as he is adjacent to the concert that is going on, staring in a melancholy way at a Christmas tree. London goes up to him and holds his hand, and she is wearing the cutest little white knit pom-pom hat on her head. Oh,
yeah. Yes, she is.
There's a little pom-pom on each side, like a little two puffy sets of ears. It's so cute. Her doing that melts the heart of Scrooge. And then she looks over. Who is that in the distance coming towards her with a rucksack? It's her father. Father! And she runs towards him. He goes towards her. They embrace. Oh, Dad is back from the army. He made it for Christmas. Santa did grant that wish. With all these wishes fulfilled, what else could there be left in this story?
There is definitely a close-up of Paul bawling his eyes out at the little girl and Dad reuniting.
Oh my God, yeah,
that's reunification.
That's what I said too. Paul is touched and is ugly crying. And I was like, oh, Paul, I love you so.
Paul is touched. And thank God they're in this quote-unquote holiday ball's super safe area, because just London has a tendency to just go up and introduce herself to strange men. And so many times that could have like ended badly, mm-hmm. but every single time here, like she's completely fine. So thank goodness for that. But earlier in the movie, we see a little flash of red in Eve's hand. She made Dustin a card, but we don't know what happened to that card until right now. He rushes up to Eve and waves the red envelope in the air, and she said, I'm surprised that you made it. And he's like, well, I got your card. And she totally pulled a Paul, and he looks around in awe and says, this is the best Christmas festival ever, and I'm so sorry I bailed. And Eve says, I'm sorry I lied to you. He asks if she's stuck on going back to the city, and Eve explains that she thought she had to leave her home to find her perfect life, but she realizes that her perfect life is wherever she decides to make it.
Aww.
And her perfect Christmas needs to be back home. They share a dry kiss.
Oh, that is such a painful dry kiss. That is not a cute dry kiss. That is one closed mouth motherfucker face mashing together kind of kiss.
Ma. As they are dry humping with their mouths, the UF lights show up again and twinkle around them. Lacey looks at Eve. They look at each other. They look at Graham. Graham is clutching her heart with love in her eyes.
Not a heart attack.
Not a heart attack. I hope not.
I was like,
we kind of panned away.
I was like, she's clutching her heart. Wait, what's happening here?
Too many Christmas cookies.
Too much butter.
And Lacey turns to Paul and tells him that she made a wish too, that she wanted to be a better person. And you, Paul, helped me make that wish come true. And there we have dry kiss number two.
Aww.
Better than dry kiss number
yes,
one.
Yes, it is.
Because these people actually kiss each other intentionally on a daily basis. The next morning, Eve and Lacey wake up on their old couch in their crappy old apartment. It's Christmas morning. And they both look at each other. And Eve says, I had this weird dream. I dreamt that we got whisked away to a Christmas town. And Lacey says, yeah, with Graham, and oh my God, it wasn't a dream. They were actually sent into a Christmas movie by Santa to grant their wishes. And they're just mulling over the details and how incredible this all is, right when Paul pops up from the kitchen and says, "You told me not to watch you sleep, so I decided to start breakfast instead." And instead of looking completely disturbed, Lacey just says, "Paul, how are you here?" And he says, I'm sorry. I put in my notes. And he says he asked Satan for a wish to...
So he was talking with London.
Oh, God. I meant to say, he says he asked Santa, not Satan, for a wish too. And that wish was to be with her. He just had to sell his soul to do it. He spins her around, kisses her, and gives her a card, which has two gingerbread people holding hands together while they bake.
Aww.
She says it's perfect. They kiss, and Paul offers, "Anybody want cinnamon waffles? It's Graham's recipe." But there's something that Eve needs to do first. She rushes over to her work, marches right into her boss's office, and of course he's working because it's Christmas Day. And he looks at Eve and says, "This is not the time for this because, you know, everybody's super busy and swamped on Christmas Day." Eve says, "I just have three things to tell you. First, I am a designer and a gosh darn good one. My talent is being wasted here." I think she hands him the binder at that point with the really pastel-y clip art material. Two, her name is Eve, not Elle, like he keeps calling her.
That's a good thing to clarify.
Yeah, after how many years?
I know, right?
And three, she deserves the cover for Spring Fling. She looks at Mr. Peterson and says, "Mr. Peterson, I know that under your rough exterior, there's just a man who wants to see something beautiful."
Aww.
And there was a flash in his eyes. I saw before I knew what he was going to say next. It looked like he was going to be like, "Don't test me, girl." He's just like, "Excuse me, I'm sitting here working on Christmas Day and you're going to give me shit?" But he actually opens the folder and looks through it and says, "You know, Eve, you come to that meeting next week. And why don't you also bring some ideas for this summer catalog, too?" He finally realizes her quote-unquote talent.
Mm-hmm. Talent.
And she's going to get her chance. Her talent. And lastly, we see Eve, Lacey, and Paul walking down the street. And Eve's telling everyone about the good news. And she wishes Dustin was there. She'd love to tell him. And she misses him and wonders what he's doing now. Just then, a bouquet of flowers thwacks her on the chest.
A cute bouquet of flowers.
And who's holding them? They're roses. So it shows that he really cares, and he's not cheap or smarmy. And it's Dustin. She asked what he's doing there, and he said he thought he would try city living again. They dry, dry kiss. Paul kisses Lacey on the forehead. Dry kisses all around. They kind of share a uniting, like, hug thing. And Paul says, "You know, the city sure is great, but how about next Christmas we spend it in Holiday Falls?" Eve says, "A return to Holiday Falls? You know me. I love a good sequel. Some foreshadowing, perhaps?"
Mm-hmm.
And as they walk away, they pass the magic Santa, who's still tingling his bell on the side of the road for donations. Eve turns and gives him a smile, and he gives her a knowing nod. And they live happily ever after.
Yay!
Until the sequel.
Return to Holiday Falls.
I know. What are they going to call that? Christmas movie, Christmas part two?
Return to Christmas movie, Christmas movie, Christmas movie.
Interested to see what they do with that. And I really hope they do because I did enjoy this movie a lot.
Ah, so did I. I thought it was really smart and funny. And while the front half of it was way more on point than the second half, I still enjoyed it throughout. And I enjoyed it more the subsequent times I watched it. Subsequent? I don't know.
Yeah. And there's like all kinds of little tidbits mm-hmm. that you can keep happening upon throughout the movie. And I enjoyed it. Like, now I found out that Lacey and Paul, real life married mm-hmm. couple, wrote it. And I was like, oh, now I have to watch it again.
And it makes their interaction seem even more hilarious because it's kind of like they have this private joke about being super over the top and stalkery. And, you know, they just mm-hmm. find it kind of funny between the two of them.
It's good writing. Good writing, you guys.
Yes.
out of a scale of 1 to 5 dry kisses, 1 being the very driest kiss, get some chapstick stat, and 5 being borderline wet kiss and very pleasing. What would you give this movie, Corinne?
That's a 5. All the way a 5. 5, 5, 5.
Yes, I would agree. This is the first quote-unquote Hallmark movie that I'm giving a 5 to.
Ooh.
Yay!
Hallmark-ish movie. Thank you so much for joining us at One Dry Kiss. We can be reached at all the social medias at One Dry Kiss.
And that is one spelled O-N-E.
You can email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com.
Please be sure to rate and review this podcast if you enjoyed it. We appreciate your feedback.
By feedback, we mean the all the stars and all the good things. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, don't. We are very sensitive to criticism, so just pretend like we're your overly sensitive second cousin that can't take any bad news and just give us all the good stuff.
If you have a problem with cussing and you want to, you know, mark us down for that, just don't listen to the podcast. That's all you need to do.
Because we're going to continue cussing. I promise you that. It's kind of inherent and I can't stop. I really, really tried. And please make sure to tune in to us next time where we will be watching whatever movie we decide we're going to be watching once we get our lineup going.
Mm-hmm. Our good old lineup. Probably The Last Bridesmaid.
You think?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll get into hair pulling and fight about it. We'll figure it out.
This is our second hair pull fighting, Corinne. I'm starting to go bald. I'm just letting you know.
You've got so much hair. You've got plenty to share, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, I know, but just like a few, it's starting to thin.
Look.
I'm just saying.
I'm just like working on getting a weave for myself so that I can have a luscious long head of hair like you with less work.
Oh, my God. And also to make a voodoo doll so you can just be at my beck and call. And I'm going to poke it when you disagree with me.
We hope that you have a fantastic week and we send you off with one singular dry kiss.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
My taste has evolved because, you know, we used to both love olives, the black olives that you could stick on your fingers. But now I have graduated to garlic stuffed green olives and they are heavenly and you do not like them as much as black olives.
I'm equal opportunity olive lover.
I thought we had a conversation at one point in time where you're like, still like black. They're still the good OG ones that I will prefer every step of the way.
But it doesn't mean I don't like garlic stuffed ones. Well, I split the baby.
I have. I favor the garlic stuffed green olives.
So if you were faced with black olives, you'd be like, no, no, those aren't garlic stuffed.
No, I will still eat them begrudgingly.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're such, you are so self-sacrificing. That is.
I know.
One of the many things I love about you.
Take it for the team.
Mm-hmm. Your ability to eat olives as a form of self-sacrifice.
You are welcome.